We're in 1 John chapter 4. I want to look at a passage this morning that it's pertinent to today and all that's going on in today's world. You know, there's one God, correct? Amen? One God. There's not many gods. There's not a God for everything that you struggle with. There's not a God for every person. There's one God. One Creator. In the world today, there are a whole variety of different beliefs. People put their faith and trust in so many different things, whether it be from an animal to a statue, to themselves, or to nothing. There's one true God. I want to look at 1 John chapter 4. I want to look at the first 6 verses here, okay? And this is going to help us to live today, right here in 2022. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help this morning. Lord, I ask you to help me as I preach your word. Lord, it's been a while since I've stood before my church family. But Lord, it's not me that's saying anything of great importance. Lord, help me to only say what you would have me to say. And Lord, help us as Christians understand the need for discernment in helping those around us be pointed to you. Lord, forgive me for my sins and cleanse me of self and sin. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you hate being deceived? Does anyone hate being deceived? You know what I'm talking about? That deception. You know, when you go to a store and you find exactly what you need. You know, the store that says, you know, we've got everything that you need. And you go and you find that shirt, that coat, that pair of pants that you've been looking for, only to find out they don't have your size. Now that's deception. How about when you pull up to a store and you see the store that says going out, and you think it says going out of business, but the sign says going out, and then in words about that big, it says for business. So you walk in, you think you're going to find all kinds of deals, and you say, well, the sign says you're going out. No, it doesn't say that, sir. It says, or we're going out for business. I ought to... Listen, I worked at Food City for years, and I'm going to give you a little snippet, a little tip. When I worked at Food City, a price of Doritos was $2.29 a bag. $2.29 a bag. Well, they would have a special that would say two for $5. And they'd fly off the shelves. Deception! I hate being deceived. Don't deceive me on my Doritos now. Deception. I don't like being deceived. You know what? The best way to not be deceived is being discerning. Understanding of the truth. Knowing what's right and what's wrong. Whenever we're talking about, obviously, that's just a silly illustrations on being deceived. But let me tell you something. There is a whole variety of deceiving beliefs or religions that are sending people to hell. This morning's message is not necessarily geared to those in here this morning that have trusted Christ as their Savior. The focus of the message is how can we as Christians be discerning both in our life as well as understanding how to help those that don't know Christ as their Savior who have been deceived in believing things that are not true. This is a great passage. Since the beginning of time, since the beginning of creation, Satan has battled with the truth of God through deception. The spirit of the deceiver is to question God's word and to replace it with what he thinks. And it all started back in Genesis chapter 3. God had ordained, if you remember this, God ordained that Adam and Eve should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's a very simple request, command, correct? They could have enjoyed everything else about the Garden of Eden. Everything was available to them. I can't imagine how great that must have been. Except for one tree. Just one. But what did Satan do? What was his tactic? Yea, hath God said, ye shall not surely die? God, what God said wasn't exactly true. I know what's best. You will be enlightened. And God used deception in the garden, or Satan used deception in the Garden of Eden to deceive Adam and Eve, and it's still going on today. How many of you would say, Pastor, I know someone right now that is being deceived into thinking that their belief is true? Would anyone say that you know someone? Folks, let me tell you something. We need to be praying for discernment both in our lives as well as how to help those that are being deceived through the beliefs that they have. It has nothing to do with what I'm saying. It has everything to do with what God's Word says that I'm trying to just deliver to all of us and be reminded of truth. There's nothing like the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes the truth isn't exactly what we want to hear, but it's still truth. And that's exactly what we have here. Jude 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God. Can you imagine this? Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There are people out there today, right now, this very hour, that is proclaiming deception. Do you know the difference between deception and truth? You know, we've got to understand God's Word. We've got to know who God is. Teenagers, listen to me. Whenever you're living your life, the world's going to throw a lot of things at you, and you've got to know what's right and what's wrong. And if you choose what's wrong, you're going to choose the consequence of what's wrong. If you choose what's right, you're going to choose the consequences of what's right. It's truth. We've got to know the truth so whenever we see something that doesn't line up with what we thought God's Word says, we go back to God's Word. So I want to help us all this morning in understanding this importance of discernment. The apostle here is warning concerning, is giving out a warning here concerning false teachers. He's commanding them to use spiritual discernment. And the purpose of this was to embolden them, to fortify, if you will, against this spiritual vulnerability. There's a lot of vulnerability when you talk about faith, right? I mean, I'll say this, the world lumps in the term Christians to be a wide variety of people, right? Is that truth? No, that's not truth. Christians, little Christ, those that seek to be Christ-like, why? Because the Holy Spirit lives inside their heart when they ask God to forgive them of their sins. That's a Christian. And so the apostle here is warning, he's giving out this warning, we must live in this world around us with discernment. You know, there's warnings everywhere. There's warnings all over the place. How many of you take any form of medication? Go ahead, raise your hand. If you are not understanding why I'm having you raise your hand a lot, I'm trying to keep everybody awake. Okay. If you take a medication, have you ever looked at the warning sticker? Don't look at the warning sticker, because on that sticker it could say, could cause this medicine, if you take it, could help with your runny nose. Or it could also cause you to have experience headaches, muscle aches, dizziness, dry eye, pink eye, internal bleeding, amputation, and possibly death. There's warnings everywhere. On our trip to Wyoming, they were doing some construction. There's about an hour and a half drive from the airport to the to Pinedale, where we stayed, where we worked. And they're doing some construction, and there was flashing lights, and the road went over into a little two lane, and you had to change the routes. There's warning signs. Be aware. Flagmen ahead. There's warning signs everywhere. God, in His great wisdom, is saying, beloved, be aware of all that's going on around you. You have been given the truth, but there's some people that's coming in and they're giving you a lie. Be discerning. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. There's warnings everywhere. If you are familiar with Pearl Harbor, before Pearl Harbor was attacked, radar had picked up the Japanese airplanes, but a radar technician was told to ignore the blips on the radar screen because they were thought to be supply planes from the West Coast. Right now, currently, our U.S. border system have an early warning radar system. An early warning radar system is used primarily for long-range detection of targets, allowing defenses to be alerted as early as possible before the intruder reaches its target, giving the air defenses the maximum time to operate. The warning signs, the warnings are given, note this, when danger is approaching, not when danger has occurred. A warning sign is given whenever danger is approaching, not after it has already occurred. And there's a warning here in God's Word that we must be aware of what's going on. Pastor, what are you talking about? We live in Greene County. We live in Greenville, Tennessee. I mean, everyone in Greenville is saved and goes to a church somewhere. Okay, well, first of all, that's not true. And second of all, if just because they go to a church doesn't mean they're being taught God's Word. There are so many around us right here where we live that that when they die, they're going to go to hell. Do you realize that? They have been taught, they have been preached, heard preaching that has been deception. They've not been preached to concerning truth. So here's my question for all of us as a Christian this morning. Wherever you're at, and whoever you live beside and work beside and go to school with and play ball with or retired and you live beside, whatever situation and season of life that you're in, are you looking for ways to point someone to Christ? Yesterday, I had the opportunity to drive up to the Wilds Christian Camp to be with our college kids that are serving the Lord there at camp. And during the little program that they did, many of the counselors gave testimonies of all that the Lord has done, or of a specific situation that the Lord had allowed them to go through during the summer thus far. And it was testimony after testimony how this counselor was able to speak to this teenager, and this teenager didn't want to go back home. They lived in a broken home. They lived in some very difficult situations, and they got saved at camp. Different testimonies of teenagers coming, and they were very hard to the things of the Lord. They didn't want to hear what God's Word said. They didn't want to go to chapel. They didn't want to hear God and I time. They didn't want to hear the preaching of the week. They couldn't care less about God. But God, through different circumstances, broke walls down and opened hearts, and different ones got saved. Folks, that can happen right here in Greene County, right here amongst us as Central Baptist Church. When's the last time we've had someone come to the front and get saved here? We just got back from Pinedale, Wyoming. You know what the greatest need in Pinedale, Wyoming was? It wasn't that walls need to be torn down or beams put in or sheetrock hung. The greatest need at Central Baptist Church is for the gospel to go out. And I'm thankful for Pastor York's willingness to serve there at First Baptist Church in Pinedale to try to give out the gospel. But let me tell you, it's hard. People are being deceived all over the United States into what truth is. The greatest need, Pastor York says, I really need a young couple to come and help me. He's 62 years old. He's been pastoring for 30-some years. He's tired. And he needs a young person, a young couple to come and say, I've got a church here, a building that's ready to go. I need some help. There's less than 2,500 people in the town. And there's several churches that we passed, one on the same road. And they're not preaching truth. We must be discerning. Knowing what God's Word says and knowing what's going on in the world around us to tell people the truth. There's warnings everywhere. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 21 says, "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." If you notice there in our text, verse 1, the Bible says, "But try," that word try means test, "but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." If you have your Bible, hold your hand there and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just real quick, 2 Timothy chapter 3. So, Pastor, what does this mean for me today? How can this be applied to me today? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read while you're turning. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, do we know when the Lord's going to return? Do we have any idea? Well, no, we don't know exactly. But we can look at the world scenario and think, okay, surely it's not that much longer. Surely he's going to come any time. We have no idea. And folks, I truly believe that the world's going to get a lot worse before he returns. "In the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." This is why we have to be discerning, okay? In looking at this passage, this is what we have to be thinking of. We have to be discerning in looking at what God says versus what the world is doing, how people are living, okay? Here we go, verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, all that we have just read, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. This is the world we're living in. This is where we're at right now in the United States, in the world, in 2022. This is what we're doing. Everything that I just read, can we see that in the world today? Oh, absolutely. But you know what? So could they when these words were penned. But look at what the rest of chapter 3 says. But. I love that transition because it's referring to, okay, taking what we've already read, there's something better about to happen. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. In order for us to be discerning, we must know what God's Word says, and we must know what the world that we're living in is like. We must understand where we're living. Christian, let me ask you a question. You've been coming to Central Baptist Church for 5 days or 50 years. It doesn't matter. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. You know you're going to heaven. What are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing for the Lord? That's not a trick question. That is reality. What are you doing for Christ? Well, Pastor, I mean, I come to church. Great. What are you doing for the Lord? Pastor, what do you mean? I mean, I sing in the choir every now and then. I mean, I come to Sunday school. My goodness, what else could you expect? If you are a Christian here today and you don't understand the reason why you're here, know this, that God's got a whole lot more for you. Do you understand that there are people that go to this church right now that you have never invited one person to church, much less Christ? Now, in reading this passage in 2 Timothy is reminding me of what the world is and who the world needs, and that's Christ, I would sure hope that we would be on fire to see someone come to Christ. I want to throw out a concern I have. I'm a little bit concerned whenever the next person comes down to this altar to trust Christ as our Savior. I'm a little concerned of how our church is going to react. Because we can react with excitement, or my greatest concern is we act like, okay, good. It's okay. Oh, I'm glad for them. You know what I think, Central Baptist Church? You know what I think we need? You know what I know I need? Is I need a renewed excitement about people coming to Christ. I need a renewed excitement. I need to be discerning in how to deal with people that I'm around all day, every day. I just had a conversation with someone here in town recently, and they were asking me, what do I do as a pastor? And I thought for a minute, what do I do as a pastor? And they asked me, they said, are you in the... This person said, so these pastors that are in the office all the time studying, how do they ever go and deal with the people, minister to people in the community? It's a great question. I could very easily say, "Oh, I don't have enough time to do that. I've got to study, and I've got to make decisions here for the church. I can't go out there." And you know what? It reminded me, why am I here? There's someone in Greene County that's going to die today and go to hell. But yet I've got the truth in Christ. We have God's Word. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I need to be discerning and understanding why I'm here and how I'm supposed to handle life with people around me that doesn't know Christ as our Savior. Look at verse 2. Back in our text, 1 John 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. One of the marks of a true believer is that they know Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. A true believer understands clearly who Christ is, what He did for us, and what He is doing right now. Listen, we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in a mindset of, I come to church. That's all I have to do. Well, Pastor, we need to have some programs here that gets us excited about some things. There's no program that should be any more exciting than the ministry of God's Word. Now, things that we do as a church group, we're going to watch a baseball, that's strengthening. I can tell you this. Thank you for allowing 22 men and young men go to Pinedale, Wyoming for a week. I know it was different. I know it was different on Sunday. There was 22 men and 10 guys weren't here. There's a big group that was gone. Thank you. But can I tell you this? You know what I think happened on that trip we'll see down the road? It's the same thing that's happened on many mission trips, is that the men of Central Baptist Church are being strengthened together. We're passing it on and showing the young men that went. It wasn't about hammering a piece of sheetrock into a 2x4. It wasn't about jackhammering some concrete. It's about strengthening our church family and our men and our families. Why? So that we can be prepared. We're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That we're able to be discerning. That we're able to see the world and say, my God is greater. My God is much larger than all that's going on in the world. My God is more loving and more gracious and full of mercy. And yes, there might be some bad things going on. There might be some people that are struggling with truth. But I've got the answer, and it's not me, it's my God. There is a mark of a true believer knows who Christ is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Chapter 2 verse 14 of 1 Corinthians, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. As a believer, as a Christian, we have God's Word. Is God's Word in you? Brother Jimmy and Miss Tracy McGaha, our missionaries in Nepal. McGaha's were members here, been members here forever. Worked here in town. They see different faith than probably we do there in Nepal. They're able to see it. The greatest need all over the world is Christ. And they need to see Christ in us. Verses 3 to 5, we see some characteristics of the deceiver. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. For 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. 2 Peter 2, 1, but there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, and denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. 2 John 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. There's people all around us that believe they're going to heaven, and it's all based upon their good works. There's people all around us that are going to go to hell because of deception. But folks, we as Christians have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. This morning, I ask you, what are you doing for Christ? Are you spiritually discerned? Are you being victorious in your walk with the Lord? Are you doing what you can to point people to Christ, to talk to someone about the Lord? Because it says here in our passage, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Not in our own selves, not in our own strength, but through Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is nothing more encouraging than to know that the Holy Spirit is greater than anything else you'll ever deal with. There's nothing greater than that. And if you are trying to live your life on your own, making your own decisions, following what you think should work, know this, you're missing out on the greatest blessing in following the Lord. Allowing Him to guide you step by step by step. You have no idea how the Lord's going to work. You have no idea what God's going to do with your life. But all you've got to do is be obedient right now. Pastor, I hate obeying. I hate someone telling me what to do. I don't like it when someone tells me what I need to do, when I need to do it, how I need to do it. That's not reality. Forever you're going to have someone that's going to be telling you what to do, and it should be the Lord. I am so excited about what God has in our future for a church. I have no idea what all the Lord's going to be doing. But I know this, we'll never do it, we'll never accomplish anything for the Lord if we first aren't accomplishing in our own life the goal of discernment. Lord, I don't know all that's going on in those people's lives, but I know they need You. Lord, I don't know that what's going on in the generation behind me, in our young people, our teenagers, our children, our college-age kids, I don't know what they're facing, but I want them to see the praises and the strength and the wonderful works that You have done. I don't want to tell them exactly how to live their life, but I want them to see You in me. This morning, are you spiritually discerning? Are you in God's Word? I close with Luke chapter 6, verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Your life will reveal your discernment. And in the day we're living in 2022, the greatest need that everyone around us needs is Christ. My prayer this morning is that you would ask the Lord to help you be spiritually discerning, biblically discerning, being in God's Word, knowing God's Word, knowing who He is, so that you can know how He wants you to live. There's a great need for us to be spiritually discerning. Will you pray this morning and ask the Lord to help you? What are you doing for Christ? Let's pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask a question. How many of you this morning would say, Pastor, I need help in this area. I need to be spiritually discerning. And I need God's help. Would you slip up your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Okay? Raise your hand. Anyone? I need to be spiritually discerning. You can put your hands down. Lord, you've seen the hands. You know the hearts. Lord, help us all to see the world around us. To understand that there's people that's trying to teach false doctrine, false faith. Even our own sinful flesh and our sin nature, we can live our life as though we don't need anything. So Lord, help us to be discerning and see that we need You. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's all stand as the piano plays. How about right now, pray? You can come to the front. You can pray there in your seat. How about right now, pray and ask the Lord to help you be spiritually discerning. Well, Pastor, I've been saved for years. That's great, but it doesn't mean you're discerning. Pastor, I teach a Sunday school class. I'm a deacon. I'm a nurse. That's great, but it doesn't mean you're spiritually discerning. Would you pray right now, Lord, help me to see the world around me and be discerning so I can point them to You. Would You come right now? Would You come? Folks are praying. Maybe there's someone on your heart right now. How about praying for them? Pray that the Lord would break down a wall, a barrier in their heart, and then give you an opportunity just to tell them what Jesus Christ did for them. Maybe you need to encourage another Christian that's struggling. Maybe you're that Christian that's struggling and you need to accept the encouragement that the Lord has given. Folks are praying. Would you come? Would you pray? Lord, thank You for Your Word and the truth that's in Your Word. Lord, help me just to obey it. Help me just to do it. and forgive me when I fail you. Lord, I pray that Central Baptist Church would be a church body, family, that is strong in discernment, that love each other, and that love people to tell them the gospel, the truth. Lord, if there's someone here today that's never trusted you as their Savior, would you please convict their heart and realize and help them to realize that you are the answer. You are the one that brings true peace and guidance. Lord, may we honor you and glorify you in all that we do with our life.